Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
The problem is you got some people out there who are fanning these conspiracy claims from the planet Pluto.
Oh, conspiracy claims. Are they, Jay Inslee? Are they? You overcounted COVID-19 deaths by at least 13%. And according to the Freedom Foundation, you also went to them and admitted that was the case. That's what she did. And you were counting as COVID-19 deaths people who died from gunshot wounds. Jay, that's what you were counting. People who died from gunshot wounds. That's not it. There's also people, I understand, who died in car crashes. So when you say conspiracy theories, Jay Inslee, I got to ask what you're doing in the United States. Well, it's that, or you're getting all sorts of federal money or all sorts of control over people's lives, because I know that you love the control over people's lives. And it is very, very, very clear. When he was asked this question, and I thank the journalist, I wish I knew the name of the journalist who asked this question. I am so thankful for this. I'm so thankful for the media when they do their job. When they, hey, if they do their job, it puts my job at risk, right? Because then what do? I mean, I am the media watchdog. Of all of Washington State media, I am the anecdote to it. Right. That's what we do in the show. That's one of our missions in addition to being activists. Speaking of that, I've got to just remind you this. You must go to informparentsofwashington.com. Please, right now, we've got to get this referendum on the ballot to shove the perverse sex ed bill back down Jay Inslee's throat. Get this. There are businesses who are permanent places for you to sign this referendum. You don't have to go through drive-through places anymore, although there are people still doing that. Informparentsofwashington.com. Please do that. That's a way to punish Jay Inslee. He was paid good money, in my judgment, by Planned Parenthood in terms of campaign donations and maybe some more yum-yums on the side we don't know about to shove this down your throat. Oh, and the World Health Organization is behind it, too. They're the ones who want four-year-olds taught the joys of masturbation. Four-year-olds. Four-year-olds. Okay, so you got to go to informparentsofwashington.com. Please go sign that referendum. If you've signed it, get 10 friends to do it. Got to push this over the top. So Jay Inslee was asked about these overcounting of COVID-19 deaths.
Well, I haven't seen this assertion. I have no reason to believe there's any validity to it whatsoever. So at the moment, I have confidence in the numbers that we've put forward.
Okay, and then according to the Freedom Foundation, you later talked with them, apparently, and said, yeah, that's right, we've been overcounting by 13%. But you also said
people out there who are fanning these conspiracy claims from the planet Pluto.
Right, exactly. So we decided, instead of, you know, me, a conspiracy theorist, or my listeners, all conspiracy theorists, what if we brought on an actual man of data and science? What if we did?
We know that only science and data and informed reasoning and confidence in ourselves is going to lift us out of this crisis. Science and data-driven process to assess the data. So we're going to continue to look at the data as we have. Our guidance for lifting these restrictions are based on data and science.
All right, so instead of listening to Jay Inslee suggest looking at data and science, and I will contend to the day I die that Jay Inslee is actually looking at poll numbers. I said it 6 weeks ago. What's the data? Jay Inslee's looking at poll numbers. And Seattle liberals, Western Washington liberals, they love leftist authoritarianism. They love seeing businesses shut down. They love being told to wear masks. I mean, Dave Ross at Cairo Radio, he wrote a brilliant, brilliant piece. He said there's nothing wrong with being a sheep. Dave Ross, in one headline, described the ideological divide. There's nothing wrong with being a sheep. Who doesn't want to be sheared, put in a veal cage, and eaten? Right? Right down the kill chute. So instead, of Jay Inslee are politicians, I thought we'd bring on someone who actually operates in the realm of science and data.
Joining me now is Dr. Scott Atlas. He's the David and Joan Tradle Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University and a member of the Hoover Institution's Working Group on Healthcare Policy. He is a world-renowned physician and a scholar of advanced medical care. Also, was a professor in chief of neuroradiology at Stanford University Medical Center for 14 years. Man, I've been wanting to talk to you forever, Dr. Atlas. I appreciate you coming on the show, and say hello to the folks in Western Washington.
Sure. Thanks very much for having me.
It's a real pleasure. Contact tracing here is a big, big topic, Dr. Atlas, and I've heard you discuss this a bit. Our governor is pushing this very, very hard. At one point, had plans to make it compulsory, was going to have restaurants cause people to give their name, address, phone number, etc., email address for the pleasure of eating in a restaurant. And I'd heard you describe that contact tracing can be very, very useful, but at a certain stage of the introduction of a virus to a community.
Yeah, I mean, contact tracing is a sort of very common and well-known tool of public health, and it's very useful at certain stages of such a pandemic, and that stage is in the beginning, not after the disease is widespread, highly contagious, millions of people walking around infected. And the point of contact tracing is to prevent the establishment of a pandemic at the beginning, particularly useful when you have a very small group confined, like the sort of religious sect in South Korea, where they identified somebody in the very earliest stages, and they did this very local, confined contact tracing. The idea of contact tracing is good for a future pandemic and for the potential second wave that people are talking about, and of course that's just potential for some next season or next spring, next winter. But once we're in a situation like we are now, it's not very useful. In fact, it's not just not useful, it makes no sense. Because once you have millions of people, particularly when there's 50% of people who are asymptomatic, the implementation of something like that is just simply, you know, fantasy. You have somebody walk in and they've already been around people who are, let's just say, on public transportation, and there's millions of people already with the infection. I'm not sure what the value of that is. In fact, we know it absolutely cannot be a prerequisite for opening for a variety of reasons.
And what I hear you describing, Dr. Atlas, Scott Atlas is with us, what I hear you describing is something that I think is sort of endemic to this entire thing, particularly in Washington State and the West Coast states, is sort of a lack of logic. I also read you very early on talking about the fact that children appear to be at no risk for this virus. I read recently a study that indicates, in fact, no known recordings of a child passing COVID-19 to a parent. And yet we are examining in Washington State, in fact, Dr. Atlas, keeping the schools shut through next year.
Yeah, I mean, this is just really an example of a complete lack of logic, a complete lack of rational thought, although well-intended. And it's because of the fear. The fear has really become part of the reason for making policy, which, of course, can never be. That's just completely inappropriate. The data shows the following. There is essentially zero risk of dying in people who are under 18 and children. If you look at the latest statistic, which actually I just happened to look at because I look at this about 20 times a day, the CDC website says 68,998 deaths. 12 were in children. That means 99.99% were not in children. When you look at 12 deaths out of the first 69,000 recorded by the CDC, let's just compare that to something. Influenza, roughly, they estimate 600 deaths, okay, from children, in children. When we look at the data, you just can't make a conclusion that there's any danger here. New York City, of the first 16,000 deaths, 10 were in children who were under 18. One was in a child who didn't have a serious underlying condition. We're talking about 99.994% of deaths, not in children who didn't have a serious underlying condition. And when you look at the data from the recently published study in JAMA Pediatrics, Journal of AMA Pediatrics, 46 pediatric hospitals in North America, they said three basic things. Number one, the risk of influenza is far higher in children than COVID-19. Number two, the serious diseases from COVID-19 are far higher in adults than those in children who have the infection. But the most important thing is three, if the risk of a critical illness in children is far less with COVID-19 than with influenza. The rationale for shutting down schools in children who have no risk is literally irrational, unless you really wanted to go to the point of saying every November through March, we must shut down all schools because old people can die from influenza and children can die from influenza. Where are those calls? Why aren't these people saying that? We must close down all of society from November to March because children and adults can die from influenza. I mean, this is just, it's totally irrational. We know who to protect here. Okay, yeah. The protection must be and should have been from day one at the people who were at high risk from dying. And every medical student in the state of Washington, I can guarantee you, knows that the people who were going to be at risk from a viral upper respiratory infection are people who are diabetics, older people with chronic underlying diseases. This is obvious. Yet, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in the state of Washington, you had a disaster in a nursing home. They didn't protect the people who needed to be protected and instead locked down all society. I mean, there is no logic going on here. Luckily for us, Americans understand logic. And when I present the data, the facts are overwhelming that children have no problem with this disease. I mean, I'd like to touch on something, which is this headline sensationalizing these very, very rare disease that is yes. reminiscent of something called Kawasaki disease.
Yes.
If I may. Kawasaki Please. Disease is a disease that is exceptionally rare to begin with. And I'm shocked that it's even in the vernacular of public discussion. I mean, this is a disease that is a very, very esoteric kind of topic. 2,000 to 4,000 cases per year occur in the United States, unknown cause. And it's a treatable disease, by the way. No one mentions that this disease is treatable. But in this situation, COVID-19 has been associated very, very rarely, perhaps a couple hundred cases in the country with this associated something like Kawasaki disease, which, of course, is a tragic thing when an exception happens in a child. We all know this. I have my own children. But the reality is this is an exceptionally rare possibility, much less common than the exceptionally rare Kawasaki disease to begin with. It doesn't negate the overwhelming evidence. I mean, this is not how medical perspective is. People that are running with this sort of stuff don't understand that every doctor in the world knows that there are rare exceptions to diseases. And those exceptions can be very, very tragic. But, you know, you have to have a perspective here. You don't lock down society because of some kind of very, very exceptional occurrence that is really just, this happens in every single disease. I mean, I just really think there is a tremendous amount of fear and honestly an embarrassing level of sloppy analysis by some very smart people going on here.
Dr. Scott Atlas is with us, and I've been excited to talk to Dr. Atlas for a long time. Got a few minutes left with him. So kind with your time. Scott, I don't have anywhere near your education, clearly in the medical world. I have gained over a lifetime of experience, multiple PhDs in politics and media. And I will tell you that when the reporting came out about the kids are now at risk of coronavirus, I predicted that they were going to make this turn because there's a lot of fear reporting. And in our state of Washington, and this goes to the lack of logic, Dr. Atlas, they have never, ever emphasized what you just did about long-term care centers. In fact, I don't know if you know this. about 3 weeks ago, our governor, Jay Inslee, who's insisting on the 1,500 army or person army of contact tracers, had put COVID-19 patients back in to nursing homes and long-term care facilities. But he said that they're properly sequestered. This is the same Jay Inslee who has told us, Scott, that reopening Washington state is contingent upon large-scale testing of basically the whole population and this contact tracing. This is what he's telling us is requirement for a full reopening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, I first want to make sure everybody understands nothing I say is political here. I'm really just talking from the medical perspective and about the science, but I want to point out that kind of thinking is really, to me, not just a ridiculous kind of thought, but, you know, we look at other states. This is common here. When you look in the United States, maybe 20 states, if not more, have more than half their deaths inside nursing homes. These are states that lock down, and they're allowing a wholly inadequate filtering of people coming to nursing homes to occur. In New York State, there was an order to totally lock down on March 20th, and it wasn't until 7 weeks later that there was an order to be very careful and to maybe start testing people who come into nursing homes. I mean, this is like total incompetence. And this is not just New York and not just the state of Washington. You look at states from the West Coast, the Midwest, and East Coast. And also, you can look outside the United States, by the way. Okay, we have no... we have no monopoly on completely inept public officials here. When you look at Switzerland, which I admire as a country, 53% of their deaths are in nursing homes. When you look at Sweden, who's been very rational about the way to approach this, they have more than 50% of their deaths in nursing homes. I mean, this is literally medical school 101 here to stop that kind of thing. I've been calling for weeks, as have many other people, for testing everyone who walks into a nursing home. You have to have some kind of strategic, common sense logic here. When we have public officials dictating policy, you know, empathy and caution is not enough. We need people who are competent, who understand how to analyze the situation, no matter how complex the data. And if you can't do that, you ought to step aside, because they're really killing people, not only in the nursing homes, they're literally killing people with the policy itself. The policy itself has inculcated such fear that people with critical medical care needs are not seeking help. 40% of acute stroke patients are not calling for help. They're not coming into the hospital. 650,000 people on chemotherapy in the United States for cancer, half of them are not getting their chemo. We have two-thirds of people skipping their cancer screening tests, and more than half of children are not seeking and not getting their immunizations because people are afraid to come toward a medical facility. We are setting up a massive catastrophe in healthcare. And I'm not talking about the economic consequences here that also kill people, but that's a separate issue. I mean, these people in charge, honestly, frankly, they don't know what they're doing, and they have instilled fear into the people so that when we do reopen, we are going to see, and we already are seeing, totally irrational requirements for reopening. This idea that you go outside and you need a mask, I mean, I'm in Palo Alto, California here. I see people driving around in cars alone wearing a mask. Okay, I'm not making fun of them. It's a manifestation of the fear put onto the public by public officials who don't know what they're doing. And what we see here is people running outside on the track. I run here at Stanford University outside. I see people running alone, isolated from everyone else, wearing a mask. I mean, this is just totally out of control here. And if we keep going like this, the country is committing, frankly, national suicide here.
Yeah, this is why I wanted to talk to you. I appreciate you so much speaking from this medical perspective. And I also appreciate you leaving politics to hacks like me. That's what we do. That's what we need you to speak out this way. Listen, you know what? In Washington State, it's not even masks, Scott. They have people wearing face coverings. One of the things people do here is they put silk scarves over their face. and they will shame you. If you don't have, if you have nothing in your face, they'll shame you from beneath a silk scarf. And they're being told, we are being told up here, Scott, that this is the pitch right now. You are literally killing people if you don't put a mask in your face. That's literally what they tell us. If you do not wear a mask, you are literally killing people. So I would just close off with one last question for Dr. Scott Atlas. If you could change one thing today, and you could, you know, convince the powers that be to change one thing about what we're doing, what would you prioritize most of all?
Well, you know, I'm going to go with two things, or it's really one policy, which is highly restricted, targeted protection of people who are very old, particularly in nursing homes, and letting everything else open. There is zero reason, zero rationale to keep schools closed, to keep businesses closed, to keep offices closed. If the working population, people under 60, I want to say this statistic, if you're under 60, your risk is less than or equal to seasonal flu, period. And if you don't panic and freak out and isolate yourself to your home during flu season, you're making a huge mistake to think that that's necessary during this.
Dr. Scott Atlas has joined us, and just such a pleasure to talk with you, the Hoover Institution. Do you like to be followed on social media? Do you want people to do that, or would you rather just maintain being an academic?
Okay, I have a Twitter account. I haven't looked at it for 3 months, but I have people at my staff is keeping people informed about some of the things that I'm saying on Twitter. You know, I find, honestly, one of the causes of the fear is the hyperbole on social media. Everybody who can do a Google search thinks they're an expert. And we're living in a very strange world where we somehow turn on Shark Tank. People that run Shark Tank are giving advice about hydroxychloroquine on TV, and then I'm asked to respond. I mean, this is just totally out of control. Yeah. Listen to your doctor about drugs. Use your own logic and common sense. And, you know, I think Americans, I trust regular Americans far more than politicians about these things at this point.
Very good. Dr. Atlas, thank you for joining us on the Todd Herman Show. Godspeed to you, and stay well. Thank you so much. Todd Herman Show, didn't you see now? You see? Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. We're putting the blog together right now with Dr. Atlas. We just interviewed Dr. Scott. And what you heard, contact tracing. Dr. Scott Atlas, by the way, was the chief of neuron radiology at Stanford University and a professor at Stanford University Medical Center for 14 years. He is a world-renowned and worldwide respected physician. He has said the following that you just heard. Jay Inslee's contact tracing scheme is useless right now, unless you're planning for a future pandemic in some way. Right now, it's useless. It's not going to stop anything. This is the wrong time for it. He explained that children are not at risk for this. He explained that there is no scientific basis whatsoever for the schools to be closed, that kids do not pass this condition on to their parents or to adults in general. Dr. Atlas explained that wearing a mask is silly, basically. He said there are people. Then he said what should be done. And it's the opposite of what Jay Inslee is doing. So you decide. Do you want to take the word of Dr. Scott Atlas and others? Breitbart has a piece with 100 physicians or more decrying the lockdown. Do you want to take that word or Jay Inslee, a man who lost a couple hundred million bucks of your money to Nigerian scammers? And I just got another piece of input from an IT professional echoing the fact that there are commercially available pieces of software and services that you could subscribe to block Yop mail and temporary brand new emails from being used in these schemes that wouldn't even accept them. It would flag them as fraud attempts and put them in a fraud attempt barrel.
so that it would require a human to call an HR department. I have heard this morning. In fact, let's do this, because we normally do Election Collusion Watch about the national media. We got some, and you got to hear this Biden piece. You will not believe what this man has just said. Jason Rantz just tweeted this out. Do you follow Jason at Jason Rantz on Twitter? You will not believe.
We are the watchdogs over the lapdog media. We'll keep track of their efforts to collude with the Democrats to steal this election.
You are fake news.
This is the Election Collusion Watch.
From what I'm hearing from people who were victimized in this Nigerian scam, or people, it's, you know what, it's not fair. It's not the country of Nigeria. It's some people who are in Nigeria. It's not a Nigerian scam. It's some people from Nigeria. Here's what I'm hearing from people. Number one, Washington State started paying these monies 6 weeks, in some cases, before they asked the HR department, before they went to the HR department to say, hey, was this person really let go? Did you really let these employees go? 6 weeks the money flowed before they took any effort to follow up on this. Any effort to confirm that the person has actually lost their job. 6 weeks. Now, I understand there's a lot of claims. I get that. You knew this was coming. Jay Inslee, you knew you were going to do a shutdown for a month ahead of the time that you were going to shut down. You knew it. You were transmitting it. For at least 3 weeks, you had the plan in place, Jay. You were transmitting it. You were suggesting it. You were figuring out how to keep Planned Parenthood in business and how to keep the shops in business and how to shut down businesses that don't support you, that don't give you money. You needed to make sure that you kept everybody in the Inslee camp fat and happy, and you accomplished that. So you had all sorts of head time to start evaluating your systems. You didn't. $200 billion is gone. So 6 weeks goes by before they send a note to HR saying, oh, by the way, we sent these people, I don't know, about $3,600. Did you fire them? I've heard that. I've heard from people who noticed right away, wow, someone's drawing unemployment in my name, and they started calling the state of Washington. No calls back. Sometimes they couldn't get through. No calls back. The state of Washington wants us to believe that vote by mail is perfectly safe. Guess what? You don't get a receipt for your vote. You don't get to know how your vote was counted. You don't get to know how it was recorded. Your vote by mail ballot could have been copied by someone and sent in, and you would never know. But we're told to trust it. I don't. Do you? The local media could have yesterday, gotten IT professionals into a news story. I have quoted two of them this morning. They could have gone to any one of the services that blocks scams. They could have gone to Norton. They could have gone to any of these and asked them, what's commercially available? Barracuda. They could have gone to Barracuda. Does it at the hardware level, as I understand it, physical? They haven't. This is not the headline across all of Western Washington. But it should be. All across the state. Jay Inslee counting people who were shot by guns when Jay Inslee pretends that gun violence, as he calls it, keeps him up at night. Counting gunshot deaths as COVID deaths. That could be headlines. Inflating the numbers by 13%, including people killed in car crashes, who at one time tested positive for COVID-19, then were killed tragically in a car crash. counted as a COVID death. That could be a headline. That could be across Western Washington media. The numbers are inflated by 13%. Jay Inslee has lied. He's counting gunshot deaths as COVID deaths, but they're not doing that. Because they are water carriers for Jay Inslee. Do you think the media doesn't know what would happen if people understood the depth of the fraud? Do you think that they don't know that that could put Tim Iman into the governor's office? And they hate Iman. They hate him. They think Lauren Culp, also running as a Republican, is some kind of militia member. They hate him. They laugh at him. They giggle at him. Small county sheriff, small town sheriff, small town cop. What is Jay Inslee? What is Bob Ferguson? Icons to them. Icons. I've had people in newsrooms where I've said, Bob Ferguson is not that well respected in some circles. He's done some things. I've had reporters look at me and say, he's the attorney general of Washington State. Yeah, no, that's a fact, too. Now, you speak of election collusion. Listen to this quote from Joe Biden. I cannot wait to send this to Bo Snerdly. And I talked to Bo yesterday. He's also, his real name is James. I cannot wait to send this to James. If he hasn't already seen it, I bet he has. This is Joe Biden owning black people. No. Listen. This is Joe Biden explaining that he owns black people.
Until November, we got more questions.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
He owns black people. He owns your vote. Owns your conscience. Owns your point of view. Owns your allegiance. Owns it. Doesn't need to earn a damn thing from you. Already has it. This is the same thing as Jason said in his tweet. If a gay person supports Republicans, they're not really gay. If a black person supports Republican positions, they're not really black. Same idea as separating human beings by race, except that all disappears if you don't have wrong think. Same party that pretends to be for diversity. They're the champions of diversity. That same party says to black people, get your minds right. Think like Joe, like a demented 74-year-old man who's trying to stick his underwear on his head because he thinks it's a COVID mask, though he's home alone. And the media will cover for this. That is a man saying he owns the thoughts of black people, and the media will cover for this. And I would just ask, what exactly has the Democrat Party done for black people? Well, let's see. Let's go through some of the services. Their policies encouraged black fathers to leave the home. That's been great. Fatherless households. That's been great. One parent households. That's been terrific for the black community. Absolutely fantastic. They are peddling the lie to the black community that you can't get anything in the United States unless government gives it to you. Because you're too weak. Soft bigotry of low expectations. You're too weak. Plus, Whitey, he'll steal it from you. That's the poisonous lie that they're telling young black people. And that you aren't black, lest you think like a 74-year-old, demented, lifelong grifter named Joe Biden. Same thing they did with women and Lizzie Warren. You're not a real woman unless you support this cold, shrill grifter named Liz Warren. You notice how this is not done on the Republican side? Ever. Ever. Now we get this guy, Harwood, CNN. He's the guy who went to the Democrats begging during the election between Trump and what's the other guy's name? Forgot his name. I ran against I got it. When the debates were coming up, he went begging for dirt questions on the Republicans. Harwood,
lots of doctors
CNN.
Out there. You can find doctors who will support things that the president's saying about hydroxychloroquine or many other things, just as you can find scientists to say that global warming doesn't exist, or you could find economists to say that trade protectionism is good for the economy. Or
yes, you can find diversity of opinion. Ain't that scary? Ain't that scary? But you see, it's the way presented. You can find scientists who do not believe what we exhale is poison. You can find them. Yeah, because they exist, because what we exhale is not poison. Last thing, we got to get to break here. Ron DeSantis has had enough of Florida being lied about in the media.
Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks. Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy. Wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened.
We'll come back with just a few more things. Oh, coming up next hour, Tory Monson, Tory Monson Show fame, joins us on the Todd Herman Show. Get ready for that. And now we'll get into just a few more things. We got to do text messages. Man, I've just been a bad host today. It's been a very, very good day.
Just a few more things.
It's a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a logical fashion, numbered for your convenience by a patent-pending algorithm. Unhackable. Unlike Jay Inslee. Employment security departments, hackable by a lazy scheme that would have been caught easily in the commercial world had they just plugged in commercially available tools. But why do that? You need the workable hours. Whew! Yeah,
thing one.
Talk about for hours. This is partly visual. So Stacey Abrams was asked to go on. She's a woman who's famous for losing a gubernatorial election and then pretending to be governor of Georgia. Well, she's black, too. But when it was asked to go on MSNBC with Joe Biden, and man, her face was beaming, beautiful smile, absolutely gratified and happy. She was there as a surprise. She thought Joe Biden was going to lay on her the VP nod.
Stacey Abrams is here because Joe Biden invited Stacey Abrams to be here. Mr. Vice President, do you have an announcement to make?
Well, because Stacey Abrams has done more to deal with the fair vote and making sure there is a...
Stacey Abrams' face goes blank and then angry. You brought me here and you're not going to offer me the VP nod? No, Stacey. Joe Biden brought you there as a prop. He brought you there as a prop.
Thing two.
Because Joe Biden has made an announcement to African-American voters. Yeah, this may come as news to you. Joe Biden owns you.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
Okay, that would be Joe Biden explaining that he owns the votes of black Americans. That's interesting. How do you feel about that? Next up, in just a few more
things. Three.
Joe Scarborough is one of the people continuing to play defense for Barack Obama and Susan Rice and Jimmy Comey and Jimmy Clapper and Joe Biden and Jack Lew, all the people who unmasked American citizens in order to have the Obama campaign spy upon the Trump campaign illegally, lying to the FISA court, etc. We know all about that. Joe Scarborough talks about an email Susan Rice sent herself, because, you know, it's perfectly normal when you leave a meeting to email yourself to say that the president wants everything to be done by the books, to make a note like this, to enter it into prosperity. What she was doing was painting the case that Jimmy Comey told them to lie to Trump and told the president to set up a system to lie to Trump from a national security team, to lie to the president of the United States.
One other thing, and I saw that Susan Rice's email was released. My God, it was like the most straightforward email ever.
Yeah, it was straightforward in that it was a straightforward CYA that anybody who's ever worked in politics or big business where people will stab you in the back as they laugh understands what that email is about. That was Susan Rice saying, oh, I wasn't the one who said to start the lying. I wasn't the one who told the national security agencies to lie to the president of the United States. That wasn't me. That was Jimmy Comey. And she put everyone else in the room, case she ever had to go into a court of law. That's what that was about. Next up in just a few more things.
Thing four.
Speaking of media and our great august news media that serves us so well, brave journalists following the facts no matter where they lead. Andrew Cuomo went on his brother Chris's show. You think Chris asked him, hey, what about this putting the COVID-19 positive patients in the nursing homes? What about doing that? What about costing 4,000, maybe 4,500 deaths because you forced the nursing homes and long-term care facilities to take in COVID-19 patients? No, they didn't ask about that. They played with a giant Q-tip on CNN.
Now, a few questions about this process. First of all, is it true that when you were having the test administered, you inhaled and the doctor's finger went all the way up your nose and got stuck and had to be released with a tool? Yeah, okay. Is that true?
It's funny. And then he had a great big giant Q-tip. It's funny. CNN. This is CNN. Yeah. Last
thing
up,
five.
Just a few more things. It's just fun to listen to. Joe Biden alone in his basement, taking his mask off and on when he's on video. People go, why is he putting the mask off and on? Taking off his pants and his underwear, putting them over his face and going, I can breathe.
Get this money out to the folks who desperately need it to stay afloat. Is it incompetence? Corruption? Trump was out there tweeting again this morning. I call him President Tweety. Reopen the country. End of quote.
Yeah, the president's not the one who had $200 million picked off the top in fraud, Joe. Oh, the geese in the background. It is gorgeous. Dory Monson joins us next in the Todd Herman Show.